This is an interview with Haishima Pugh Duewa in Durham, North Carolina. It is February 18th, 2005, and we're in her home. The interviewer is Geralyn Patterson, and this is part of the Spencer Grants Project on School Desegregation in the South and will be used as a part of the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The tape number is 2-18-05-HD. Okay, Ms. Duewa. Will you please tell me when you attended Hillside High School?
We went to Hillside 62, 63. We entered Hillside in 62.
Okay.
That was the 10th grade.
Okay.
But the year was 62, 63.
Okay.
63, 64, mm-hmm. 11th grade.
Okay.
64, 65, 12th grade.
And tell me what you remember most about being a student at Hillside.
Hillside was very unique.
Okay.
It was unique in that the students who attended Hillside, students were like a family.
Mm.
We were like a family because there was only one black high school in the city of Durham.
Okay.
And when we went to Hillside, everyone knew everyone.
Mm.
We came from all areas of Durham.
Okay.
Walltown,
mm-hmm.
Pearson Town,
mm-hmm.
the West End, East Durham, Bragg Town. So when we got there, it wasn't like we were going to a school meeting individuals we never knew before.
Okay.
We knew everything about each other.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it was a family. And it didn't really matter which side of the track you mm-hmm. lived on.
Okay.
Because those students whose parents were a little more affluent
mm-hmm.
than the others, with the exception of a few,
mm-hmm.
they mixed very much
okay.
with the rest of us.
Okay.
Your question was, what do I remember mostly about Hillside?
Mm-hmm.
I remember the teachers. I had two teachers specifically.
Okay.
One teacher was Mrs. Cynthia Smith.
Okay.
Who taught French. And the other teacher was Mrs. Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
I remember them because they were strict, but they were mother figures.
Okay. So nurturing.
Very nurturing.
Okay.
They would laugh with you,
mm-hmm.
but when it came time to doing the work, you did the work, and
okay.
they cared about you.
Okay.
Took a lot of time with you.
Okay.
I remember the fun that we would all have just on assembly programs,
mm-hmm.
and in the cafeteria.
Okay. I haven't heard anything about the assembly programs or the cafeteria, actually.
Yeah, we had quite a few assembly programs.
Okay.
I'm sure you probably heard of Mr. Gaddis.
Mm-hmm. Mr. John Gaddis.
John Henry
Mr. G's
Gaddis. Yeah,
Swing
Mr. G's
School.
Sweet School.
Okay.
And he had a special course.
Okay.
And I guess I could sing then. Oh, I thought I could.
I'm sure you can.
That was a real memorable event because we all got together. We were able to sing. We
mm-hmm.
would just pull out those characters or those qualities that we thought we had.
Okay.
And just gel.
Okay.
Come together. Again, Mr. Gaddis would talk cash trash.
Okay.
Cash trash. But you understood that he meant business.
Mm.
And it was interesting because even if you were in the special course
mm-hmm.
and you had a class under him, which I did,
mm-hmm.
He did not marry the two. He
okay.
was one person here with special course,
okay.
which was a little more lenient.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were in the class with him,
mm-hmm.
he was Mr. Gaddis.
Okay.
Another thing I really, really admired about Mr. Gaddis, and I didn't say he was one of my favorite teachers, but what I really admired about him was that each week he would give you a word of the week.
Huh, okay.
He would give you a word of the week. And I remember that, the reason that I remember that is because as an educator,
mm-hmm.
as a retired educator,
mm-hmm.
that stuck in my mind,
mm-hmm.
and I did the same thing with my students.
Oh, okay. So So you created
initially they couldn't appreciate it,
mm-hmm.
but I realized how much it did for me,
mm-hmm.
and in doing so, it worked with my students. Mm-hmm. And when I say he gave you a word of the week, you had to learn the etymology of the word, the definition, the synonyms, and during the week, he'd expect to hear you use those words okay. in sentences.
Okay.
So therefore, when it was time for you to go on to school and you had to take tests and, you know, the word analogies, etc.,
mm-hmm.
helped you a lot.
And he was the chorus teacher, right?
He was English and chorus.
English and chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Special chorus, not just chorus. Right, special chorus.
Special chorus.
Special chorus.
So, okay, let me ask you a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm hearing a lot of people say that the teachers were strict, but that you knew that they cared about you at the same time. That seems to me a really difficult thing to be able to do.
So can you talk? Just a position, right?
Can you talk a little bit more?
I remember one teacher specifically, Mr. Bonds, and I'll go back to that in a minute.
Okay.
I remember one teacher, Mr. Bonds. He taught world history,
mm-hmm.
and in today's society and education, a person might think that what he said was real. Course, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying, really, really horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember he would say, I got mine, you got yours to get.
Okay.
And he was right. Mm-hmm. And it meant, and it's really, really true.
Mm-hmm.
Because it made you stay on course because you weren't going there for games and playing.
Mm-hmm.
You were going there because you had a job to do and they would let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because of segregation and because of the way the teachers came up, because of the way we grew up, our parents grew up, it was almost like a knock is a boost. Let me throw this on you right now,
mm-hmm.
so that you'll understand that we mean business.
Mm, okay.
There was another teacher who I can't remember his name right now. Gosh, but I remember this. He would say, if you were playing around and your grades weren't up,
mm-hmm.
he would say, "You may January, you may February, but you will not March in June." That was the senior year. It was funny. But it was real.
Okay. Got it.
You may January, you may February, but you will not March in June. That's in terms of academics. But
mm-hmm.
Another thing I remember about being at Hillside is that with the people with whom I associated,
mm-hmm.
we were very competitive.
Hmm. Okay.
Very competitive. Right. If you had an assignment, you would do your work,
mm-hmm.
but you would also talk to your friends, your classmates. Okay, well, why did you do this? And let's get together and let's make sure this is correct. You know, it wasn't like, okay, let me copy from you anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, you did this, I did this. Let's understand what we've done.
Mm, okay.
And I'm not saying that that's what happened with everybody, but I know with the most of the people with whom I associated,
mm-hmm.
and we were very competitive, and it was like, okay, if you got a 90, and I may have gotten an 88, okay, so what is it that I didn't do? And then we would sit, you know, get together and go over the work again.
Okay.
Which was an ideal thing, I believe.
Mm.
And many of the teachers may not have come out and verbalized it, but they went along with that. They
mm-hmm.
they thought it was a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So the teachers supported you all working
Absolutely.
Together. Do you, because I'm hearing you say a lot of teachers that made an impact on you, do you feel like they sent you special messages either explicitly or not about who you were as a person? And what they expected from you?
I'll put it this way, and I'm going to be very honest with you.
Okay.
Some teachers, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some teachers, no.
Okay.
Those who sent positive messages were teachers who I felt were really, to use the terms I use today, were teachers who were very much down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they genuinely, and I mean genuinely, cared.
Okay.
Now, you also had some teachers who were snobs.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard that or not, but we had teachers who were snobs.
Okay.
And I have to be honest with you.
Okay.
And if you came from one side of the track, they tended to put you up on a pedestal more than if those who came from the other side of the track.
Okay, help me understand this, because I'm I didn't grow up in Durham. Mm-hmm. So when people tell me the neighborhoods, Walltown, Pearsontown, Bragtown, East End, the bottom, mm-hmm. I don't understand the tracks.
Okay.
Of Durham. Help me understand.
When you say the tracks, you've never heard that expression.
Well, yes, I do, but I don't understand
them. When we say in Durham, you don't mm-hmm. see the tracks. But right. If you came from one area,
okay,
your family was you came from a family of a lower economical standard.
Okay, and what areas were those?
And it's interesting. The bottom.
Okay, the bottom.
MacDougal Terrace.
Okay.
Where I grew up.
Okay. Okay.
And East Durham.
East Durham, okay.
But the interesting thing is, mm-hmm. even though those few teachers mm-hmm. who looked down their noses on the people who came from those areas, mm-hmm. those teachers who looked down on those students, mm-hmm. it's interesting because a lot of the students who went out and they did something and became something mm-hmm. came from MacDougal Terrace.
Okay.
And I speak of it as MacDougal Terrace because today they call MacDougal Terrace the projects. Mm. It only became the projects, I'm going to say, about 1967, 68.
Okay.
Somewhere along that time.
All right.
And even though you lived in MacDougal Terrace, your parents, who may have been from a lower economical standard, mm-hmm. they expected a lot from you.
Okay.
It wasn't like you would have some parents who did not finish school themselves, mm-hmm. and they didn't give two hoots whether or not their children finished school or not. We had parents, I didn't do, you're going to do. Okay. You will probably be the first generation in this family that will graduate, not just high school, but go on to graduate okay. college.
So I'm hearing you say those parents had very high expectations for their children.
Extremely high expectations.
Okay. So the message to go to college was from parents, or did you receive that message from Hillside as well?
Both places.
Okay.
And your elementary school. And Quidditch Junior High School.
Okay.
It was a drumbeat.
Okay.
It was a drumbeat.
So a drumbeat of high expectations.
Absolutely.
Can you tell me some more about what it was like to live in Durham? How was it different when you were growing up than it is today?
Okay. When I was growing up, Durham was a community.
Okay.
And when I say a community, meaning a community consists of, I'm going to say the African-American community, consists of economics. We had businesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It consisted of a governance. Mm-hmm. And when I say a governance, I don't care who you were. Mm-hmm. Everybody expected you to do well.
Okay.
If they knew you, they would say something. Mm-hmm. If they didn't know you, they would say something.
Okay.
So there was a community.
Okay.
Today, nobody knows anyone. You can't say anything to anyone. And you don't feel that warmth. Mm. You don't feel that closeness
okay.
that you did when I was growing up.
Okay.
When I was growing up, it was unheard of for a child not to go to church. Mm. And our teachers, most of them went to the same churches that we went to. So you didn't just see them at school. Mm-hmm. You saw them again at church.
Okay.
And they were super role models. Mm. And when I say, you know, with that high expectation, mm-hmm. they were super role models. If they found a place where they went out for entertainment or whatever, you never laid eyes on them. So, and I'm not, and,
right.
and Durham was segregated at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they held themselves high and they expected you to be held, you know, for you to hold your head up and do something for yourself.
So did you say Durham was segregated at that time? When you were there, 1962 through 65, I'm sorry. School desegregation had already almost happened for 10 years. Did it impact Hillside in any way?
Did it impact? No.
Okay.
Hillside was the same. Mm-hmm. We had a few students who, I don't even remember how they were chosen to go to Durham High School. Mm-hmm. But we had some students to attend Durham High, but still, Hillside was the same.
Okay.
We never had any white students at Hillside.
So no students, when the students from Hillside went to Durham High, none from Durham High came over to Hillside?
None came to Hillside.
Huh, okay.
We had no white students. We didn't have any white teachers at Hillside.
Hmm, okay. So no impact?
No impact. All. Like mm-hmm. I said, there was no impact. It was like, okay, the schools are now desegregated. Mm-hmm. You woke up the next morning, you heard the word desegregated, but as Roberta Flack can say, business goes on as usual. Okay.
So life goes on. Mm-hmm.
Life goes on as usual.
So, I'll get back to that. Do you think, because I'm hearing you say that there are a lot of benefits that Hillside did for you as a student. Do you think that there's something that schools like Hillside did for black students that is now lost?
Of course.
Okay, tell me about that.
And I know I'm sounding redundant, but it was the nurturing, the caring.
Okay.
And when you went to school as a student, you went there knowing that you were expected to succeed.
Okay.
You knew that once you entered those doors, all the horseplay was left on the outside. Mm-hmm. You may have gone in to try your hand just a little, mm-hmm. but you knew where to stop. Mm-hmm. Today, on a whole, I really feel kids don't care that much about an education.
Mm. Why do you say that?
I feel like if students really cared that much about education today, they would go in with a different mindset. Mm. They would go in knowing that there is something that they need to strive for. They would have some type of goals. Mm. I hear too many kids today say, well, I'll put it this way. Kids today are living for the now. Mm. What can I have now?
Okay.
As far as going to school to prepare yourself, not for a job, because I don't believe in preparing yourself for a job, but to go to school to prepare yourself for life experiences, mm-hmm. that whole concept is lost.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we're going backwards. Mm. We're going backwards. Because as I said to you before, parents cared about kids, their mm-hmm. students, their children, mm-hmm. the teachers cared. Mm-hmm. Today, parents are grasping for excuses. Mm. I am so sick and tired of hearing, oh, this child comes from a single family household. We're talking about students coming from single family households. Mm-hmm. I came from a single family mm-hmm. household.
So did I.
I've done extremely well. Mm-hmm. Not to brag. Mm-hmm. I went to college. I went to North Carolina Anti-State University.
Okay.
I was a pre-med major. Mm-hmm. Didn't get there because of family finances.
Right.
I went on. I got a master's. Mm-hmm. Got a six mm-hmm. credits short of a doctorate. Mm-hmm. Just stopped. Mm-hmm. I've traveled. I've done well. Mm-hmm. But I did that because my mother, my grandmother, the neighbors, mm-hmm. my aunts, the extended family wanted you to go on. Mm-hmm. So that was a single family household. Mm-hmm. Mother's own welfare, who had men to come in to try to help out in the family. Mm-hmm. The system realizes a man is in the house. What do? Shut off the welfare.
That's right. They penalize you.
You know, you're mm-hmm. penalized. Mm-hmm. But we're also concerned about family structure, family right. values. You hear, we talk about single family households. Well, this has been systemic since the beginning of time. Slavery, right. mm-hmm. what do? They separated the family.
Right.
But even though families then were separated, and I'm going to get back to the point, even though families were separated then, mm-hmm. what did they do? They taught themselves to read.
Right.
I was just looking at a documentary on Smalls.
Mm-hmm. Saw it last night.
Yeah, last night. Mm-hmm. Did it well. Mm-hmm. But parents don't think that way today. Mm-hmm. Today, what can I get? Who owes me this? Mm-hmm. Never, you know, I want you to do well and go out and be competitive in the world. Mm-hmm. So, no, school is not the same. The kids just seem not to care. They want what they can get right now.
Okay.
And I blame Madison Avenue.
How do you say that?
Most of your advertisements, your commercials, etc., all start right along in that area.
Mm.
The kids watch TV.
Mm.
They see this. They want this.
Mm.
Nothing on that TV speaks to, okay, why don't you turn your TV off and have a little respite for reading or family time mm-hmm. where you can sit down and study and discuss whatever you've been taught in school that particular day or whatever is happening in the world today. All of this is education.
Mm-hmm.
Education is not just walking in the door, doing an assignment during the day and mm-hmm. coming home doing homework.
Right.
So because the parents today don't seem to be conscious enough of what is happening to us, not just African Americans, but what is happening to us, because it's not just black kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole gamut.
Right.
So no, education today is not the same. And in addition to that, and I think this is very paramount too, our teachers were taught,
mm-hmm.
were educated.
Mm.
So when we went to school, we had teachers who knew subject matter. To be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
you have teachers who come out of the school, out of college today, and you stop and you open your mouth and you're in awe because of the way they speak, because of what they don't know. So what do we expect from the kids when you have teachers who are not doing well themselves? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you think we can do? What do you think schools can do now to better educate our students?
That's a tough question.
Black students, particularly.
That's a tough question.
When I say our. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because it's tough because it's not just the school.
Hmm.
It's going to take a combined effort of parents, educators. I don't even want to go to the church, mm. so I'm not even going to bother that.
Okay.
Your parents, your educators, and if we could find communities,
mm.
community people.
Okay.
As the African proverb goes, it takes a village
mm-hmm.
to rear a child. What can we do?
Mm.
If we could take away the dollars.
Okay.
From those people on assistance. Because I hate to make a blanket statement like this, but basically it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Many of those people on assistance, they're the ones who basically are not doing their job as a parent.
Mm.
So in order for you to get your check, you have to attend class.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean just attend. You have to attend, you have to participate, and you have to show some improvement.
Mm-hmm.
this is going to sound funny. I mean, I don't know whether funny is not the right word. This is going to sound real, real harsh. I'm even an advocate of taking away kids from parents.
Okay.
And I mean, taking them away at an early age for some type of boarding school where they will be trained is not the right word. Where they can be properly educated.
Okay.
And I mean the total education.
Okay.
Manners.
Mm-hmm.
Respect.
Okay.
Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge base.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to take the kids away from a parent at an early age, and parents are going to be upset behind this. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? They will be upset. Give them a chance maybe after the first 6 weeks to go and visit.
Okay.
And you can't keep running back and forth calling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a start.
Mm-hmm.
Your question was, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop placating to kids.
Okay.
You have parents, again, who will run out and buy Nintendo, I don't know, all these games,
Xbox,
and the kids walking around with that. pants hanging down and, you know, the stomach is out, the breast is out. Mm-hmm. Kids don't work. Mm. Parents are buying that. Mm-hmm. So parents are feeding into that frenzy, mm. which is also causing the child to think he or she can do whatever he or she want to do. Mm-hmm. And as a result, if I don't want to do my work, I don't have to. Mm. You have parents who say, well, I have the computer in their room, the television in the room. No. It should be one room in the house where all those things are located. Mm-hmm. What else can be done? You need to find, I know that's harsh, but we need to come back to a time where we have some family time. Mm. Turn off the TV. Sit down and talk. Set some rules. Mm. I remember when I was in school, and this just didn't start at Hillside, there was a routine. Hmm. You came home, and you may never have heard of this, but you took off your school clothes.
Yes, I did.
And you put on your play clothes.
Your play clothes.
And in my house, because I would be so upset with my mother, in my house, you came home, you took off your school clothes, you put on your play clothes, and you sat at the table. If there was any homework that was to be done, you sat at the table for an hour when you came home from school. And my mother said it was important to do it then because it was fresh on your mind. Mm-hmm. After that hour, if it were the spring or the fall and you still had some daylight, mm-hmm. you went outside, you played, you hung out a bit. Mm-hmm. You came back in, it was dinner time at 6. We sat down as a family. They don't sit down as a family anymore. Mm-hmm. McDonald's, Burger King, whatever. We sat down as a family, my mother, my sister, and I. Mm-hmm. After we ate dinner, the dishes were washed, turn on the news, watch TV, mm-hmm. and believe it or not, before, and this happened at Hillside, I would be on the phone because, you know, I love a phone. It's a wonder one is not added to my ear. But I would be on the phone, and basically it was about, as I said to you before, calling, checking on homework, mm-hmm. making certain okay. the work was done. And then, before Johnny Carson came on, before we went to bed, when I was in high school, mm-hmm. my mother would always say, you look over your work again. Ah. So it was twice okay. before I got to Hillside. In the afternoon, that first hour when you came mm-hmm. home, I was not up to 11 o'clock at Burton School where I went, mm-hmm. but before you went to bed then, it was also, you had to look over whatever work you had. My mother was not educated.
Okay.
But if I came across any problem in anything that I wasn't certain of, I would call my uncle who was educated, mm-hmm. and he would come over. Mm-hmm. Which meant, goes back to what I was saying. You had a village. Mm-hmm. What can we do today? I really think if someone has the answer to that question that was really a viable answer, they'd be rich.
I agree.
They'd be rich.
Well, tell me what you think is important for future generations to know and understand about the legacy that Hillside offers this community.
What is important? Mm-hmm. Okay, ask that question once more. In order for them, for the future generation, to get something from the legacy that Hillside left, one has to want. Hmm. One has to have that desire to understand and know the importance mm-hmm. of education. Because if they don't understand the importance of that education, mm. the legacy means nothing. Mm. The mm. legacy means nothing. Mm. For those who do understand, mm. the legacy should be the struggle continues. Mm. We didn't go there and have education and the camaraderie and the fun that we had handed to us on a silver spoon. Mm. We worked hard for it. Mm. And when you work hard for something, The reward is wonderful. The legacy should be that there are teachers, and there were teachers who cared. The legacy should be that understanding the struggle that I'll say the ancestors or their parents or teachers went through, they led the way. And we're standing on their shoulders. And the legacy, they should want to have a goal or desire to climb, to stand on the shoulders of those at the top. So that we will not lose what we have or what we had. Because if things continue as they, if things continue as they're going today, we're going to be lost. We're going to be lost.
Okay.
We're already making that fast track back.
Okay. Well, I'll stop there unless there's... Is there anything else you want to tell me about Hillside that I didn't ask, that you think I need to know? People come up to me and say, Geraldine, I know you're talking to people who went to Hillside and asking them about what makes the school so special. Is there anything more I should tell them?
They never should have taken Hillside from where it was on Concord.
You don't think so? Okay.
I know not.
Okay.
Because even though it was large over there on Concord, that area, there was a closeness. This new Hillside is like a factory. It's like a mall. And I think that's one of the problems with education today anyway. You're just cramming in. It's a factory. It's an assembly line. You have too many people in. You're cramming too much into this building. You're cramming too much into the minds of children.
So you think things wouldn't have changed if the building had stayed on Concord?
No, I'm not saying it wouldn't have changed.
Okay.
I'm just saying I think that it made a difference. It made a difference.
Okay.
I was just listening to a program the other day on NPR, and they were talking about the International Test of Math and Science. They were saying how students in other countries fare a lot better than American students. And one lady called in, and she said she had traveled abroad, and she studied the educational system in other countries. And she said she found out one thing that other countries do that we don't do, and it's a possibility that that's why they are doing so much better.
Okay.
They might take two or three courses, math, science, and I'll just say whatever. I don't even know another course. And they make certain that the basic, that the foundation has been gotten in those areas, so that when they go on, they have a solid foundation. Whereas here, we want to give the kids the math and the reading and the foreign language and the this and the that. Give them so much, and they don't have a good understanding of any of it. So there in of itself is another problem,
right,
when it comes to our kids doing well in school.
Okay.
They're cramming too much down our throat.
All right. Thank you so much.